We begin the current daf Masechta Pesachim daf Yud. We begin 3 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, which was talking about different pesach halachas, different halachic statements that are related to different sugyos and shas regarding if one would have to do a second bedika because of something that had happened. And the Gemara continues now with the third case that had started on the previous daf. Tzibur echad shel chametz. There's one pile of chametz. Well, the fun of beis batim bedukim. Now there are two houses in front of this pile. For us, achber v'shokel, and now a mouse came and took from the pile. V'lo yedinin ilahayal ilahayal. Now we don't know which house it went into with that piece of chametz, and therefore, if it's, we're going to have to check both houses or not. On that, the Gemara says, "Hainu shnei shvilim." This is similar in halacha to the case which is learned in the Mishnah regarding two different paths, and from there we can resolve our question. And that it would depend as follows. There's now that we learn in the Mishnah in Maseches Torahs, shnei shvilim. If there's two paths. Echad tame, one path is definitely tame, and that is there's a grave that's along the width of this road and it fills up the whole space, and therefore you can't go by without being mahel, considering yourself as a tent over something that's tame, and therefore you contract tuma. The echad tame, one of the paths are pure. There is no grave or anything that's impure over there. V'holach be'echad man, now somebody walks by one of the paths, v'asatiris, and then he goes and he touches things that were tahar after he goes on the path. Now his friend comes, and his friend goes on the second path, and that is they know that the path that the first one went in is not the same path that the second one went on. And therefore, by default, one of them obviously is tummy, because one of them went on the tummy path. Now the second person goes and touches tires. On that, Rabbi Huda says, Im nishalu, if they both ask, to each individually, they ask their own chacham, their own sage, what is the halacha regarding his doubt, if he went on the tamei path and what he touches subsequently becomes tamei or not, if they're doing this individually, then tahirin. Then, Bezdin cannot be mitame each one individually, as the halachic dictum is, that whenever there's a suffix tumor, when there's a doubtful of tamei in Rishas Ram in the public domain, the halacha is that the suffix, the doubt, is tar. However, if they come, shneim bevas achas, both together, and since they're coming for one psak halacha, that we have to decide now either that they're tamei or they're tar, because we can't say that they're both tar, because one of them definitely became tamei, and therefore we can't say they're both tar, and we can't say they're both tamei because it's not true. We don't say both of them became tamei. That the halacha is tamein. Therefore, we do say that they're tamei because we cannot say they're both tahar, and we can't decide which one's tamei, which one's tar, because we don't know which one. So we have to say because of the suffix that they're both going to be tamei. No, in either way, in either circumstance, they're both going to be considered tamei. And the Gemara explains. Amar Rab. V'itame, some say Rabbi Yochanan, that he was the one that explained as follows. Bivas achas, if they come together as one, devriha kol tamei, everyone agrees that they're both going to be tamei. Because as we said before, you can't say that one's tar, one's tamei, we don't know who. And we can't say they're both tar, because if they're asking for one psak aloha, and we have both, that one went on row and one on the other one, obviously, that one is going to be tamei, so then we're going to have to conclude that both are tamei. But Zachar Zeh, if they come one after another, and that is, even if each one came in front of the dying and said, this was the story that happened to me and my friend, he mentioned both of them, but I'm only asking regarding myself, what is my halacha? Devar HaKol Tahar, and everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yosi, that they both would be Tahar. Lo Yinechleku Ele Baboa LaHashu L'Lo V'Alchaveh. The only machlokes that they had was regarding, if he's asking regarding himself and his friend, that he's saying, what is our halacha? He wants to know the psak regarding both of them. On that, Rabbi Yosi medamidli labasachas. Rabbi Yosi equates it with the same halacha, which would be when they're asking at one time together. And that is even in this case, where they're both not here, but ultimately he's asking for one hayro, one psak regarding both of them. And that is, you can't say that we don't know which one is which. So you can't say that they're both, we don't know if they're both tamei or both tahar, because we can't differentiate and say one tamei, one tahar, because they don't know which is which. And therefore, you can't say they're both going to be tahar. And that is why Biusi says they're both going to be tamei. Bihuda medami le lezachazer. Bihuda equates it with the case of when they come individually, each one to their own chacham. And that is, since ultimately, we only have one person asking, although he's asking regarding himself and his friend, the way we respond to him is, you're tahar. Because we don't have to respond regarding the other person who's not here. And the reason is because, since it's a suffix, if he entered onto the road that's tamei, that is the klal of suffix, tamei b'shas ra'am is tahar. Now, he himself will understand that his friend has a similar status, that he's also going to be tahar because suffix, tamei b'shas ra'am. But you're right. If both of them come and ask one after another within Toich Kedei Dibur, that is in a very small time frame, that they're ultimately coming together, then of course you would have to respond in one way, and then you wouldn't be able to say they're both tar, and then therefore by default you'd have to say they're both tamei. So similarly, the Gemara says, regarding the case of the houses over here, where you have the pile of chametz in front of two houses, if they come to ask individually, then we could tell each one, you don't have to check. Because since the halacha of bedika chametz is only drabonim, because min d'oraisa is not with bittel to nullify in one's heart. So the whole bedika drabonim is only midrabonim. So therefore, we are ta'ila l'kula, we say leniency, we say just like regarding the shvil and Rosh Hashanah, that we say that the suffix tumah is, we go leniently. So here also, we'll go leniently. And we say that the suffix is mutter, but if they come together, that's what we find the same thing regarding the shvilin, that then you can't say they're both tar, because ultimately one of them it did go into, and therefore the same over here regarding the houses, one of them it was taken into the chametz, and therefore then we're going to have to say that they both require bedika, and that is how we're equating to this case of shnei shvilin, that depending if they're asking separately or together, will define if either one will require bedika or not. Now the Gemara continues with the fourth psak halacha. Suffolk al, suffolk loyal. Let's say there's doubt if the achber, if the mouse even went into the house. That is, we see the mouse that takes a piece of chametz in the courtyard, and the house that's there in the courtyard has been checked already, but we don't know if the mouse entered into the house or not. So the Gemara says, "Hainu bika." That's the same as the case of open fields, which is a bika is a term that's given to many fields that are together near each other. Ubepluk the drabalaz rabbanan. This will depend on the machlekes drabalaz and rabbanan. Did now like learn the Mishnah Maseches Torahs. If someone enters open fields in the rain season, and as Rashi explains, in the rain season, the bika, the open fields, have a status of Rishus HaYachid for Tumah as a private domain. And that the reason being is because since the sprouts have already sprouted, and therefore people do not have permission to pass by over there. So hence, we consider it as a private domain that the public does not traverse. And the halacha is that suffik tum b'shus ha-yachid, when you have a doubtful tumah in a private domain, then we say that the suffik, the doubt is tumah. And so regarding this case, where again, it's during the rainy season, where we consider these fields as b'shus ha-yachid, and there's tumah in one of the fields, and that is, we don't know which one it is. However, each field is separately demarcated. We know which each field is, but we don't know which field is the one that has the tumah. V'amar echad, and one of the people says, halachti b'makom alaz. I went into that bika, in other words, to that open, where all the fields are, I went to that area. V'eni yedeim nechnasti b'isusad v'im loy nechnasti, and I don't know which one is the one that went that has the tumah, and therefore I don't know which one I went into, if I went into the one that has the tumah. Rebbe Lazar says the person is tar. The chum say the person is tumah, and the reason being is because ultimately the chum say it's a case of suffik tumah b'rishus ha-yachid. As we said, since in the Moisek Shem it's the rainy season where the public does not go into, hence we consider it like a private domain. And since there is tumah here, just we don't know where it's suffik tumah and b'rishus ha-yachid, we say the sveikah tumah, therefore the person will become tumah. But Rebbe Lazar does not consider it a suffik tumah. Only if the person enters into the field, but if he doesn't know if he went, and then once he goes into the field, and he doesn't know if he went over the grave, then we say that he's going to have a suffik tumah b'rishus ha-yachid. But here's a different case, because here it's considered a svek sveka, a doubt of a doubt. And the reason being is Shehayu Rebbe Lazar Oyim. Rebbe Lazar said, suffik bi'a tahar. If you're not sure if he even entered into the area, then you would be tar. Suffik maga tumatame. It's only when you're not sure if you touched it that then you would be tame. And therefore, the same thing over here regarding the houses. Even Rabban would agree to Balasa that although they argue over there, and there they say that it's a suffik tumashus ayachid, and therefore you're going to be tame. And Rabbalaza was the one that said that no, it's not a suffik tumashus ayachid. That's only when you go into the area which has it, and you're not sure if you touched it, then you're going to have the status of a suffik tumashus ayachid. But here, where it's like a double suffik, first of all, I don't know if I entered into the area that has the tumah because it's one of the fields. I don't know which field I went into. And then when you go into that, if you weren't where exactly the grave is, if you touched it, so therefore it's a double suffik, then Rebbe Lazar says you're going to be tar. Even Rebbe didn't argue in that case, but here, since the halacha of bedikah is chametz, as we mentioned before, is only rabbinic, it's only rabbanon, then we would be tar leniently and would say that the person did not enter into that area, which in this case, regarding the mouse going into the the home that we say that we didn't, that the mouse did not go into the house with the chametz, similar to like Rabbi Elazar said over there, and here the Rabbanan themselves would not argue on Rabbi Elazar, and they would say that the mouse did not go into that house. We say that it's only a suffix when it's in the area, then we say this is a suffix. But suffix al, when it's regarding if it even entered in the first place, there, in our case, we're going to chametz, so it's only midraban because of the bedika. Even the chacham would agree that we do not consider that as a suffix, and hence one would not require bedika. The fifth case the Gemara brings is al, if the mouse goes into a house in front of us, ubadik, but then the balabais, the owner of the home, goes and checks afterwards, the loyashkach, and he doesn't find it, he went and he checked. And that is plug to Jamei Rabban. That would depend on the machlokes or Amei and the Rabban. That's not like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Nida, that talks about if there's a pile that's tameh, that got mixed with two other piles that were tahar. Now we don't know which is which. And then the person checks one of them, and he finds that pile is tahar, so the halach is that pile is tahar, and the other two are still suspected of tameh. Let's say he checks two piles, and they're tahar, then we say they're tahar, and the third one is tameh. But let's say he checks all three and he finds all of them tahar. He doesn't find tumah in any one of them. Then we say they're all three going to be considered tumah. And the reason being is that Hayyur Meya said, Kol davar shebecheskes tumah, anything that had a chazaka, had an established status of being tumah, which one of these three did, la'ilam hu b'tamasa, we're always going to have to suspect it from its tumah, at sheivadu lachat tumah hechani, until you know for sure where the tumah is. And here, since you checked all three, but you don't know where it ultimately ended up, we still have to suspect one of them for being tumah. Therefore, we have to suspect all three of them for being that tumah. However, the chacham say, b'idik at shemegi l'sel, you check until you reach rock, to virgin soil which never moved from its place. Then if you don't find it, then we will be tailored, we will suspend leniently, and we'll say that must be that a raven took it or that a mouse took it, because it can't be any further down. We checked, this is rock, it can't be here. Therefore, we will be tailored. And therefore, as Rashi explains regarding the checking of chametz, even Ramey would agree over here that he would say that a mouse probably ate it. Because since the whole halacha of bedikas chametz is only midrabanan, therefore, even Ramey would agree that one would not require another bedika, because since he did check and it's not here, so then although Ramey gently says, well, okay, it's not here, we still have to suspect until we find it, that's over there, because that's by tumah, but that's which is dairaisa, here where bedika chametz ol midrabanan, even Ramey would agree that one would not have to check again. Now the Gemara continues to the sixth case. Oh, if let's say the mouse goes in front of us, we see it going into the house, ubadak, but then the householder goes to check afterwards because he saw it going in with chametz in his mouth. Va'ashkach, and then he finds a piece of bread. Now, but he doesn't know if this is that same piece that the mouse took in or not. And that the Gemara says, plukta de Rebbe v'Rebbe Shimon Ben Gamliel. This will depend on the machlokes of Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Ben Gamliel. The time like learned the Braisa. Sadesh Nevid Bokever, regarding a field that a grave was lost. In other words, we don't know where the grave actually is. Hanechnas l'teicha tamei, someone that goes into this private area becomes tamei, as we said, sabik tamei shesar yachid is tamei. Nimtze b'kever, but let's say at a later point in time, they find a grave in that field. Now they don't know if that is the quote-unquote the grave that was lost in the field. So hanechnas l'teicha tamei, someone that goes into that field now will become tar, because we know that area that's cordoned off, that it's not, you're not going into that. Shani Yomer, Kevish Ovid, who Kevish Nimsa. I say that the one that was lost is the one that was found, and therefore we don't suspect anymore for any other graves, Divir Rebbe. Pshimim Gamliel Yomer, Tibadi Kalasala Kula. No, it's not enough to assume that the one that was found is the one. Rather, you have to check the entire field, and only then will you say that we're going to assume that, and then you'll know for sure that there's no other graves. Therefore, that is really the machlokes that we'll have over here regarding the case of chametz. Where here, when you went into the house and you started checking, you found in, let's say, the first room, the piece of chametz, that will be depending on the machlokes of Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. Will we say that this is the one that was lost, the one that was found? According to the opinion of Rabbi, we'll say that, yeah, you don't have to check anymore, you found it already. According to Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, no, you will still have to check their entire home. Seventh case the Gemara brings, Zahniach Teso Matzayut, you left 9 pieces of chametz, and now you find 10 pieces, plucked at the Rebbe Rabban. This is going to be a machlekes of Rebbe and Rabban. The Tanakh in the Brisa. Haniach mana. If someone leaves a mana of Meiser Sheni, Umatzimasim, then he finds double that amount where he had originally left a mana. On that, we say, Chulin, which was the new stuff, we say is Chulin. Umayser Sheni, and which is the old stuff, we know there was a mana of Maiser Sheni, Murav and Zeb is that we say that they're mixed one to the other, Divi Rebbe. And that is, so what do you do? Because we know the old stuff, the mana was Maiser Sheni, but now we assume the new stuff is Chulin. So you bring coins that are worth a mana, and you say that wherever the Maiser Sheni actually is, let them be to move over the consecration onto this money, wherever they are, and then you bring up the coins to your shleim, and then you go ahead and use that coins to buy Maaser Sheni things. And therefore, ultimately, Rebbe is considering that we say that the original things that were there are still there. It's just that you added on new stuff, and that we don't assume that's Maaser Sheni. We assume it's Chulin, and therefore they mix together. And then, therefore, you go ahead and you mechalal it onto the money of just a money's worth of Maaser Sheni. However, Chachamim ha-koil Chulin. Chachamim say that the entire Masayim is Chulin. And of course, we say that the mana that was originally there of Maaser Rishon, it's not here, there's no mana, there's Masayim here. So we say that that original mana was taken away, and these are other things that are brought up in that we say that it's entirely Chulin. So therefore, although there it's a leniency, here it's going to be a stringency according to the Pin Rabbanan, that regarding Chametz, we say that the 9 pieces that the person left, there's no 9 pieces over here, there's 10 pieces. Therefore, they were ultimately obviously taken away. Now you have to check the entire house, because where did the 9 pieces of chametz go? Maybe a weasel went and dragged it into the house. Although there's 10 pieces over here, we said somebody else brought them. There are obviously other pieces that were not the original 9, and therefore you would have to check the entire house. Now, the Gemara's 8th case is the opposite of that. Haniach yod umotza tesha. Let's say you left 10 pieces, and you find 9 pieces only. So Hainu Seifa, that is the end of that brisa, which they both go according to their opinions, attend like we learned in the brisa over there. Haniach Masayim, if you left 200 of Maaser Sheni, umotza mana, you only find the mana. On that, Rebbe says, mana munach, mana mutal, divi Rebbe. Rebbe says that a mana was still left over, and the mana of Maaser Sheni was taken away, but this mana that's left over is obviously still Maaser Sheni. So therefore, hence, according to Rebbe, that he says that this one that's found is still from the earlier stuff. It's just that what was taken away was taken somewhere else. So here also, you would only have to go ahead and continue to check only for that one piece that was lost because you had 10. Now you only have 9. So it must be, it's still the original chametz. You don't have to check for 10 pieces in the house. But for one piece, you would have to check. However, Chachamim say regarding this Masayim that became mana, hakol chulin. It's all chulin. As they said before, no, whatever was there before was taken away because we see a different amount. So hence, according to Rabbanan, you would have to check for all 10 pieces in the home because we don't have any of these pieces from the original stuff. This 9 is not from the 10. Rather, those were obviously went somewhere else because this is a different amount and this is something else. And that's why, according to Rabbanan, you would have to check for all the pieces inside the home. Now the Gemara continues Amud Beis with the 9th case. Let's say somebody left chametz in one corner. Then he finds the chametz in another corner. That would be depending on the machlekes of Shimon Gamliel and Rabban. The time like learned in the Braisa. Kardim Sha'avid Bebais, regarding an axe that was lost in the house, that is, you can't find it anymore. Habayi is tamei. We say that all the vessels in the house are tamei. Why is that? Shani Aymer, Adam Tamei, Nechon Shalmanat, like we say, the who's stealing stuff over here of an axe. We say that an impure person came and took it, and therefore he touched all the vessels when he came rummaging through the house, and therefore everything's tamei. Shimon Gamliel Aymer, Habayi is tamei. Shimon Gamliel says, no, the house is pure. Shani Aymer, I don't assume that. I say that Hishilu La'achar V'Shachach, he lent the axe to somebody and he forgot about it. Oh, he went and he took the axe from one corner and he took it to another corner and he forgot that he had moved it. And then the Gemara asks on this last part of his Reb Shmuel's statement, Zavas Man de Karshme, who mentioned anything about corners? In other words, the brisa starts with losing it, that it's not found at all, and then it ends off with him saying that, oh, it's found in another corner. We're not talking about being found. And that the Gemara says, Chasur Mechzer B'Halakatan, that there are words missing, and what we're talking about was two different cases. A, Kardim Sha'avid B'Bais, regarding, as we had mentioned, the Braisa, an axe that is lost in the house, you cannot find it at all. Habayis Tamei, the Tanakhama says that the house is impure, Shani Oimer, because I say, Adam Tamei Nechlin Shamanat, I say that an impure person came and took it. Oi, the second case, or Sheneich B'Zavizu, Umatz B'Zavizachar, so you put it in one corner, and it was found in another corner. Habayis Tamei, I say the house is still impure. Shani Yoma, Adam Tamei Nichsen Shamanot Mezavazu V'Nich Mezavazachers. I say this guy, when he's rummaging through, he's moving stuff, looking for stuff. He took the axe in one corner and put it to another corner, and therefore everything is Tamei. Presumably, Leimer, he argues on both cases. He says Habayis Tar, that the house is pure. Shani Yoma, A on the first case, Heshila Ach B'Shacha, he lent it to somebody else, he forgot about it, and therefore the fact that it's not found doesn't mean it was stolen by Adam Tamei. It means he lent it to someone and he forgot. Oi, regarding the second case, he went and he took it from one corner to the other corner and forgot all about it. And hence, that would be related to the machlekes regarding the case of chametz, when you put in one corner, you found the other corner. And that is, according to Rabbanan, you would be concerned that maybe a mouse did it. And therefore, since you're concerned for a mouse, you have to be concerned that maybe this is not that chametz, rather it's other chametz, and therefore you would have to do bedika. Whereas according to Bishimon, we say that no, the person himself went and he forgot, he moved it from one corner to the other corner, and he would not have to do a bedika. Now the Gemara continues with other halachas in the name of Rav. Amar Rav. Achber nichnas v'kikar b'piv. If a mouse, again, he goes into the house, and we see a piece of bread in his mouth. V'nichnas achar v'matzapru. Now you go after the mouse, oh, you give out, just cleaned the whole house, did a whole bedika, and now a mouse runs in with a piece of chametz. You find crumbs. That Rav says, tzarech bedika. You have to do a bedika again. And you don't say that the crumbs are the what's left over from the loaf of bread, and then when you cleaned it up, then you're done. And the reason being, it's not the custom, it's not the way for a mouse to crumb, and therefore we say that these crumbs are not from the bread that the mouse brought in, and therefore it's still somewhere else in the house, and one would have to check. Whereas Vama Rava, but Rava says, if a child enters the home, and oh, the child runs in with a piece of bread in his hand, and then you run into the house and you see just crumbs, one would not have to check, and one could assume that the crumbs are what's left over from the loaf, because it is the way of a child to crumb when he or she is eating, and therefore one would not have to check anymore. However, Bayi Rava Rava asks, if a mouse goes into a house and he has a loaf of bread in its mouth, and then the mouse walks out and you see a loaf of bread in its mouth. Maha, what's the halach over there? Me and Rina, do we say the haina haida al vahaina haida novik? The mouse that went in is the mouth that went out, the mouse that went out, and therefore one would not have to do any medika. Or maybe you say it's a different mouse. How do you know? Maybe there's more than one mouse in the area. Now, imtim tzolayma haina haida al vahaina haida novik. And if you say that, yes, if you see a mouse going in with a loaf of bread in its mouth, and then you see a mouse coming out with a loaf of bread in its mouth, that's the same one, you don't have to assume that there's another one. And as Rashi says, that this would only be according to this opinion of the question, because if it wasn't, if you would assume that it's a different one, then you wouldn't even have to ask the following question. But if you assume that's the same mouse, but achber lo v'nichnas v'kikar b'piv, let's say a white mouse walks in and a loaf of bread is in his mouth. V'achber shachar yoytze v'kikar b'piv, now a black mouse walks out with what looks like the same loaf in its mouth. Maha, what do we say over there? Do we say havada achrinu, this is obviously another mouse and therefore another piece of chametz? Idilma armur armimene, or do we say that the black mouse went and ripped away the piece of the loaf of bread from the white one, and that's the same piece of bread that now he's taking out of your house? Now, v'himtim shalayim achbaram l'shaklim adon. If you're going to say that mice don't do that, they don't grab away pieces of bread from each other, and hence one would still have to do bedika even if he sees the black mouse walking out, because obviously that's a different loaf of bread. However, achber nichnas v'kikar b'piv. Let's say a mouse goes in and has a loaf of bread in its mouth. V'chol d'yoytze v'kikar b'piv. Now a weasel comes out and is holding a loaf of bread in its mouth. Now, what would you say over there? Do we say that for sure the weasel took it away because it's stronger and it overpowered the mouse, and that's what it has in its mouth, and therefore one would not have to do a bedika? Or do we say that it's a different loaf of bread? And I'll tell you why you would assume it's a different piece of bread. Because if the weasel took this loaf of bread from the mouse, then you wouldn't just find the mouse in the weasel's mouth, you would find the mouse oath also in the weasel's mouth. And therefore the Gemara says, v'imtim tzlamin, if you say that, you're right, you would have to do bedika in that case, because im isu dem achba shakalte, because if you would say that it took the loaf of bread from the mouse, then achba b'piyav mishtakech, then you would actually find not only the loaf of bread in the weasel's mouth, but even the mouse it would found over there. But then, what would you say, achba nichnas v'kika b'pim? What would you say if the mouse goes into the house with the loaf of bread in its mouth, v'chul de yaitzer, and now the weasel comes out, the kikar v'achber b'picholda, and the loaf of bread and the mouse are both in the mouth of the weasel. Maha, what would you say with it? Would you say now, here definitely it's obviously that one, because you see the mouth, you see the mouse and the loaf of bread in the weasel's mouth. Or maybe do you say no? If you say it's the same exact mouse that had the loaf of bread in its mouth, that you're saying it has both of them in the weasel's mouth, if you say it's that one, kikar b'piachver mishtakeach habayish tekuche, then you shouldn't find the weasel having separately in its mouth the mouse and the loaf of bread. Rather, it should have the mouse in its mouth with the loaf of bread in the mouse's mouth, not separately, because it walked in with that and it just should hold on to the mouse and it would have the bread in that mouse's mouth. Like Dilmo, maybe this says no. Maybe it could be that same mouse with the loaf of bread. Mishim biyisusuhu, because of the fright that the mouse had from the weasel, nafal v'shakalte, the loaf of bread fell out of its mouth, and the weasel separately took the mouse and the loaf of bread. Taker, so the Gemara says, let it stand. It's not clear regarding this question if we would assume it's the same mouse or not, regarding if one would have to do bedika or not. Boy, Rava asked the following question. Kikur b'shmei kairet, if there's a loaf of bread all the way on the top of the beam that's by the ceiling, tzarech sulam lahirida, does one require a loaf of bread to take it down? Or do we not require, as the Gemara explains, miyam rinan kuli hai lo etrechu rabban? Do we say that, no, the rabban did not require one to do so much regarding the chiv of bedikas chametz, which is to get rid of all the chametz from one's house, and therefore you could just go ahead and do bittel in your heart, which may not tell you that's all that's necessary. It's only a rabbinic gezerah that we say that maybe one will find it on the yamtiv and one might come to eat it, and hence we require a bedika. But in this case, we're not being matriach the person. Since it's not coming down by itself, and therefore one is not going to come to eat it. And again, as we said, therefore there's no room really for the gzer drabbana, which is what the institution of bedikas chametz came from in the first place. Or maybe zimnin denafal of osel mechol. Maybe not. Maybe it might fall down, and then it's going to be a loaf of bread in the middle of Pesach on the floor. It might come to eat it. Therefore, one would be required, based on the chiv drabbana bedika, to go ahead and get rid of that loaf of bread, even though it's all the way up there on the top of the beam. Now, v'im timtzalayma, and if you're going to say, okay, zimnin denafal of osel mechli, maybe it might fall down. You might come to eat it. And therefore, the rabbanon required the person to exert the effort and go get a ladder and climb all the way up on top to get rid of it. However, kikur b'boyer, regarding a loaf of bread in a deep pit, tzarech sulam lahaloisi, do you need a ladder to get it out and take it up? Or maybe not. And that is hacha vadu deloivedu desalka minavsha. Do we say that here for sure it's not going to come out by itself because gravity maybe would help it go down but not help it go up from the pit? Or maybe zimdid nanoches lemevit tzarchivos lemechli. Maybe the person might have to go down into the pit to take care of things he has to do over there, and then he's going to find a loaf of bread and he might come to eat it. Now, imtim tzalayim is zimne denochas l'tzarchav aslamich, and if you're going to say that maybe he might, during Pesach, find the need to go down to the pit and find it and come to eat it, however, regarding kikur b'fi nachash, regarding a loaf of bread in the mouth of a snake, which Rashi says, really, this is a separate question, not similar to the questions that was asked before, and therefore he does not have the girsa of imtim tzalayim as if it's related to the previous questions, so it's just a question on its own. If you find a loaf of bread in the mouth of a snake, tzarech chaper lohitzi, do we require a charmer, which is a type of person that can get the snake to do what it needs, to get the loaf of bread out of its mouth? Or do we not require? And that is the question essentially is, do we say that only regarding a person's personal exertion and effort, that and with his body, vid rabban required him to go the extra mile? However, regarding his money, where here he would have to hire a chabar, a person to go ahead and get stuff out of the snake's mouth, there the rabban did not require him to go that extra mile. Like demolition, maybe there's no difference now, just like we find regarding the chiv to get it out of the pit or on top, one would be required. Similarly, or regarding over here also, he would have to hire the chabar. So the Gemara, take or let it stand. It's not clear if he would be required to also go the extra mile with his finances and not just with his physical body. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing with the theme of the previous Mishnayos regarding the Chiv Bedika that is on Erev Pesach to check throughout one's premises for chametz in one's home. On that the Mishnah begins, Rehuda Aimer, Baitkin Aryudal. We check, as we had mentioned in the first Mishnah in this Masech, we check on the evening of the 14th of Nisan for chametz, Ubi Yudal Shachris, and in the morning of the 14th, Ubi Shasabir, and also at the time of when the chametz is eliminated, which is after the 6th hour, on Erev Pesach. Chomer Mecham say, Loi Bodek or Yudalid Yivdek Bedalid. If you did not check in the evening of the 14th, then you check on the 14th. Loi Bodek be Yudalid. If you didn't check on the 14th, Yivdek Betech Amoid, then you check during the designated time, which is on the 6th hour, which is the time of eliminating the Chametz. Loi Bodek Betech Amoid, Yivdek Lach Amoid. If you did not check for the Chametz during the designated time of the 6th hour on Erev Pesach, then you check after the designated time, which is after 6 hours until it finally turns nighttime on the 15th of Nisan when Pesach starts, then you check up until then. Now the Mishnah concludes with a different idea that umash mishayir. Now we spoke about, we finished the halachas of bedikas chametz. Now whatever is left over after you did the bedika, in other words, you still want to leave some food over for the morning of breakfast, yanachene b'tzinni, you should put in a hidden place, kadesh leheit tzarech bedika achav, so that you should not require a bedika afterwards, because then if one is missing it, then possibly it's somewhere else, and one would have to check one's premises to see if that's where the chametz is. Now the Gemara asks, my time to Rabbi Yehuda, what is the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that he requires a bedika in the evening, the morning, and at the time of the elimination of the chametz? So Rav Chisda and Rabbi Avuna Amar Tavei, they both said, "Keneged Sholosh Hashbasas Shabbatar," that this is in correlation to the three different terminologies of elimination of the chametz that's mentioned in the Torah of Re'iya, seeing, Metziah, finding, and Hashbasa, of elimination. As these Psukim and Shemayis demonstrate, it says, "Lo yirah l'cho chametz," that no chametz should be seen by you, no leaven should be seen by you. So it says the terminology of seeing. Another pasuk says, Shivas yam, for 7 days, no leaven should be found in your house, a different terminology. And finally, a pasuk in Shemayi says, Ech b'yom harish, however, on the first day, tashbisu sa'or mibateichim, you should eliminate all leaven from your house. So therefore, these three different terminologies are what mandate three different bedikas. Now that the Gemara asks, Masr Rabbi Yosef, we have in the Brice, it says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, whoever did not check for chametz during these three designated times, again on the evening of the 14th, then the morning, and then at the time of the elimination, then he cannot check anymore. So he says, Amo, we see from the Braisa that what they were arguing about was up until when one can do the bedika, and not in something else. Now, Rabbi Yehuda does not require three different bedikas. Rather, what he was saying was that either you check on the evening of the 14th, or you check in the morning, or you check in the sixth hour on by noontime of Erev Pesach, and the Rabbanan say that no, if you did not check within the designated time, which is the last time what Rabbi Yehuda had mentioned, during the time of elimination of the chametz, then you could still check afterwards up until it gets nighttime by dark. But nothing to do, as the two Amiram had said, that he requires three different bedikas based on the three different terminologies that I mentioned in the Torah. Mazutra Masnehacha, the Gemara said that Mazutra mentioned that explicitly we find the Braisa, that it was talking about only one out of the three times, which would clearly refute the opinion that was mentioned before in the Gemara, that it's not that he requires three different times, rather one of the three times. As he mentions that Masr of Yosef, Yosef asked his question, that he find in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Shalei Badik Be'echad Mishleisha Prakmalo, so it's clear in the Braisa, not just an inference, that whoever did not check one of the three times, that clearly you don't have to check all three, it's just saying up until when, Shuvein Abaydik, that only then one cannot check anymore after the sixth hour. And whereas the Rabbanah allow one to go even up until the evening, like he called Achar Moed, you can still check up until when the Yom Tov of Pesach starts. Alma b'shuvein Abaydik u'deplegi. So clearly Rabbi Yosef says that their machlik is not regarding that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you have to check three times. It's only regarding that when up until when one could do the bedikah and when not. So Ella, rather the Gemara says, Yehuda nami imloy bada kamarib. It's clear that Yehuda was saying that if one doesn't check, he was saying the different times when one can do it, but not that one has to do all three times. So therefore, v'hocha b'kamifkin, what they're arguing about is as follows, that Marsa of Rabbi Yehuda held mikmei isur in, before the time when chametz becomes prohibited, which is up until the end of the sixth hour, then yes, one should still do a bedika to check for the chametz. But after the time that the chametz becomes prohibited, then one should not do a bedika anymore. And the reason is, Gizera Dilmer, it's a decree that maybe, as he's looking for the chametz, that maybe he might come to eat from it and consume from it, because he's finding, oh, look at that pizza, oh, I forgot, and look at all this chametz that's still here, he might come to consume it, and that's already from the Issa D'Oraisa of when chametz is prohibited from Erev Pesach after Chatzai, so better not check for it, and you yoyse anyways, you chiv D'Oraisa with bitl b'leiv. And don't do the chiv D'Rabbana b'dika, because one might come to eat from it. However, the Rabbanan hold we don't make such a gezeira, and therefore, since the actual chiv about lo yirav and lo yimatzei start only when Pesach the evening starts, therefore one can still do the bedika from after the sixth hour until it becomes dark.